بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim followers from whatever he feared for them. We have been talking about the Umayyad dynasty that started with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Then he was succeeded by his son Yazid. They had Muhammad ibn Muawiyah, but he refused to be a caliph and died short time after that. Then the rulership moved into another branch of the Umayyad family. Marwan ibn al-Hakam became the caliph. After Marwan died, his son Abdul Malik ibn Marwan ruled until the year 86 Hijri. And for the last few lessons, we have been talking about great people who lived during the time of Abdul Malik and also died during his rulership. Today, inshallah, we want to continue by saying that after Abdul Malik ibn Marwan died in the year 86 Hijri, he had ordered that his son Al-Walid become a caliph after him. And people paid allegiance to Al-Walid to be the new caliph. When Al-Walid assumed the office, he removed a man called Hisham ibn Ismail, Hisham the son of Ismail. He used to be the governor of Medina, so he removed him from that position in the year 87, means a year after he became the caliph. And this Hisham had harmed the people of Medina during his governorship a lot. People complained about him. And instead of Hisham, Al-Walid appointed in his place his own cousin and the husband of his sister, so his brother-in-law, his sister Fatima. He appointed her husband Umar ibn Abdul Aziz to be the governor of Medina. So when Umar became the governor of Medina, he went and lived in the house known as the house of Marwan. People, of course, came to salute him and congratulate him for becoming the governor. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was about 25 years old at the time. After he prayed al-Dhuhr, he sent after 10 of the greatest scholars of Medina at the time. And they were Urwa ibn Zubayr, Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah, Abu Bakr ibn Abdul Rahman, Abu Bakr Sulaiman, Abu Bakr ibn Sulaiman ibn Abi Khaythama, Sulaiman ibn Yasaq, Al-Qasim, the son of Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr ibn al-Siddiq, Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab, and Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. So these were the 10 highest scholars of Islam residing in Al-Madina of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also Abdullah ibn Amir ibn Rabi'ah and Kharijah, the son of Zayd ibn Thabit, who was the most knowledgeable of the followers of the companion. So they came to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, they sat with him, he praised Allah, and then he said, I called you for a matter that you would be rewarded for, and a matter in which you would be helping the truth. I do not want to give any decision except after I receive your opinion about it, or opinion of whoever is present. If you see anyone, he said to these scholars, if you see anyone transgresses, transgress means does injustice to someone else, if you receive that any of my agents did any justice to anyone, I emphasize that you tell me about it. So they were happy with what Umar said, and they left the area praising Umar, asking Allah to reward him with good reward. When Umar ibn Abdul Aziz became the governor of Medina, he said a statement, Al-Walid fi al-Sham. He said, Al-Walid is in Syria, Al-Hajjaj is in Iraq, Qurrah ibn Shariq is in Egypt. He said, I swear by Allah, earth is full of injustice. So he named people in different areas and he referred to them as tyrants. Now, we said Al-Walid removed Hisham ibn Ismail from the governorship of Medina. And he ordered, this Walid who became the caliph now, he ordered that Hisham would be, brought to justice, that people would be allowed to come and complain about him, and then, of course, get him punished. So among those whom he had harmed before when he was the governor were two great scholars of Islam, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab. He was one of the greatest Tabi'in scholars, and Ali Zainul Abidin, the son of al-Husayn, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu an Ali, wal-Husayn wa Ali. So these were two among the people whom Hisham had harmed immensely. So Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab said to his family, I know that this man, Hisham, now is standing there and people want to punish him. He said, do not bother him. Do not harm him even in a word. Do not complain about him. I know how bad his situation is, but this is a matter that I don't want to get involved in. So he made clear instructions to his family not to complain about him or against him, and not to harm this man who used to be a tyrant in Al-Madinah, not harm him even with words. Zainul Abidin, Ali radiyallahu anhu, he said the same to his own family. And when Hisham was given the news that you have to face your opponents, you have to face those people whom you harmed, he said, I do not fear anyone except Ali Zainul Abidin, Ali ibn al-Husayn. Because he knew that he had harmed him immensely. So he was like expecting that Ali would complain against him and he would get the maximum punishment. So when he stood, Ali Zain ibn Abidin, Zain al-Abidin passed by him. The family of Ali passed by Hisham, and no one said anything to bother Hisham. As we said already, he had harmed him a lot, but they did not do anything to harm this man. So when this happened, Hisham ibn Ismail called out to Ali. He said an ayah in Al-Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. This is an ayah 124, Surah Al-An'am. It means Allah knows whom to choose for prophethood. Allah knows whom to choose to become a prophet, to select as a prophet. And what Hisham meant when he said to Ali that, he said it means that Allah had given you, granted you very high, sublime manners. And he made the prophet from among you. Because remember, Ali is the son of Al-Husayn, who is the son of Fatima, the daughter of the prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam. So he said, I'm not surprised that you acted like this. Allah knows whom to become to make a prophet. Al-Walid, this caliph, had interests. He focused on certain matters during his rulership. One of them is architecture, building, making just construction, a lot of structures. And he was interested in making water run in pipes or ditches to people, instead of people going to some places and, you know, filling up their containers and go home. He wanted the water to be drawn to the homes of the people in the, you know, close by. Especially Mecca and Al-Madinah, that people would just find the water running in their area instead of going out and look for it as they used to do before. And also, he intended to expand the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make its building, its construction, you know, sturdier. And he included the chambers of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the masjid. So he annexed, he made that the wives' chambers become part of the masjid. They are within the masjid. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz received the news or the orders from Al-Walid to start doing that. And he sent him a great amount of money to spend in that project. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz did what he was told. The masjid was brought down, its building was expanded, the wives of the Prophet's chambers were included in the masjid of the Prophet now, that became big. So the grave of the Prophet now became inside the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, now the expanded one. And all of this was done under the supervision of the direct supervision of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, and in the presence of many scholars of as-sahaba, the companions, and the followers of the companions, at-tabi'een, who were still alive at the time. So you could see that this was done by scholarly Muslims, meaning having the grave of the Prophet within the masjid that was expanded. No one spoke against it until later, about in the year 600 Hijri, about 200 years ago, a man called Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab came and spoke against it. He said, the Prophet said, do not build masjids on a grave And he, you know, claimed that those who do that are worshipping graves and so on. But we could say that Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, one of the great righteous Muslims, who later became a caliph, he, you know, supervised in person the construction of the Prophet's masjid or mosque. He was present when the grave of the Prophet was made inside the masjid, as well as its chambers of his wives. One time, a man who died, named as Al-Albani, he wrote a letter to one of the kings of Saudi Arabia. He said, "We hope from the state of Tawheed," claiming that the Saudi Arabia is a Tawheed state, "to build a wall to the ceiling of the masjid," means to isolate the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the rest of the masjid. Didn't want people to come and visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz is much more knowledgeable than Al-Albani about the religion of Allah. So there is no basis for people to speak against it. Also, Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik is the one who built, means who ordered the building of the Dome of the Rock that we know nowadays in gold in Jerusalem. He is the one who ordered the building of that Dome of the Rock, the dome itself. And also, he is the one who established or built the Umayyad's Masjid, the Al-Masjid al-Umawi, which is in Damascus, the largest masjid in that area. However, he did not live long to see all of it built. It got finished in the time of his brother who succeeded him, Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. Also, among his focuses is that he wanted to invade, to open the lands of the Turks, and he appointed a man called Qutaybah ibn Muslim to lead the army in that area. So during that year, the Muslims went and opened many, many lands ruled by the Romans. They had many fortresses in that area. They opened those fortresses. They went to Bukhara, which is next to where Russia is now. Samarkand, also in that area. They opened those lands in the year 90 and 93. Jurjan, like Georgia, as we know. Baikand, and many other lands there. And of course, they had difficulties in opening these lands. Remember, the Muslims came out from Arabia, so they were not used to, you know, like very cold mountains and so on. So they really went through difficulties while opening these lands. An example of some of these difficulties that they faced is that an army led by a man called Maslama ibn Abd al-Malik, which means one of the brothers of the caliph. And this man fought against the Romans or the Byzantines in one of the battles in the year 88. His father, remember, he became the ruler in the year 86. And immediately from the beginning, he defeated those Romans. Then the Romans came back and attacked the Muslims, and they defeated the Muslims. So most of the army retreated, and a man called Al-Abbas, who is the son of Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik. So this is the son of the caliph. The other one, Maslama, was a brother of the caliph. So he stood, so most of the army retreated. He stood firm with some Muslims. And a lot of people thought that now we are defeated. The Muslims are defeated. So this Abbas talked to one of the scholars of Islam called Ibn Muhayriz. Ibn Muhayriz was one of the very respected, very scholarly man of Tabi'een. And he was known to be very firm in his faith, that he used to recite Al-Qur'an a lot, that he was mannerly, and he would just order people to obey Allah. If he sees something wrong, he speaks against it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One time, he went out of with his servant to buy something from the market. So he went into the store of, you know, a tailor person, a person who, you know, sews clothes and also sells material. So the man of the store, you know, asked for a high price for the material he's selling. So his neighbor told him, watch out, this is Ibn Muhayriz, means this is the respected scholar, Abdullah Ibn Muhayriz, means watch out. He told him, lower the price for him. So when Ibn Muhayriz heard that statement of the neighbor, he took his servant with him, he said, let's go out. We came to buy something with our money. We don't want to buy things with our faith, with our religion. It means I don't want people to lower the price for me just because I'm a scholar. I came to buy with my money, not with my reputation. So that's how, you know, God-fearing he was. And this man, Ibn Muhayriz, died later in the year 99 when Umar ibn Abdul Aziz became the caliph. So Al-Abbas, this Al-Abbas, the son of Al-Walid, he said to Ibn Muhayriz, Ya Ibn Muhayriz, O the son of Muhayriz, where are the people of Al-Quran who want paradise? Where are the people of piety whose goal and, you know, focus is to go into paradise? So Ibn Muhayriz said, well, call them out, they will come to you. So Al-Abbas said, oh, people of Quran, means come to me, let's fight the enemy. And immediately they responded to his call and they fought the enemy and they defeated the enemy. Also, as we said, they went into the lands of the Turks. In the year 90, they opened the land of Bukhara, which is Al-Bukhari is from. And he, the governor of that area, he asked for the help of people around him. So many people came and he had a lot of soldiers. When the two armies, the Muslims army and the opponents, they lined up, one leader of the Muslims, Qutayba, he sat in the middle on some yellow clothing, and he had his arms on him. It means, look, I'm not going to ride a horse, I'm here on foot, I'm going to fight the enemy on foot. And then the battle started. The blasphemers, they managed to break the lines of the Muslims and to get to the camp of this Muslim leader called Qutaybah. When this happened, the Muslim women who were with the soldiers there, they stood in the faces of the horses of these men who were retreating. So the army, the horsemen were coming this way. The women just faced them. They stood, you know, blocking their way, telling them, where are you going? If you retreat, the enemy is going to get to us. That's what you want, that the enemy get to your women. So, and they started like encouraging them, inciting the men to go back to fighting. So the soldiers managed to go back. And then the central part of the army was firm against the enemy with Qutayba. Then the side, the flanks of the Muslim army went and, you know, applied force against the enemy and they pushed them away the way they were. Then these Turks went on a high area, like a hill. Qutayba, the leader, said, who would volunteer to go out and put them down? I don't want the enemy to be higher than us. and nobody came forward. Then Qutaybah came to a tribe of Bani Tamim. He said to them something like, يَوْمٌ كَأَيَّامِكُمْ أَبِي لَكُمُ الْفِدَاءِ, means this is a day where you prove yourself. So you are known to be heroes, you're known to be good fighters. So this day I wanted to prove that. So then the head of that tribe of Banu Tamim at the time was called Waqi'. He took the banner and then he told his people, would you let me down today? They said no. So then Waqi' told the head of the horsemen, let's go forward. And he gave him the banner. Then they walked with the foot soldiers, the infantry, the horsemen. Commander went to a river, reached a river. Waqi' told him, just go through the river. And he said, what do you mean go to the river? You want my horses to go into the river? Then they're going to be exposed to the enemy. I'm not going to do that. So Waqi' was upset with him that he did not, you know, follow his orders. He said, you are disobeying me, go forward. He said, no. And then, anyway, they built a bridge over the river. Then people crossed the bridge to the other side of the river to fight the enemy. And then they fought the enemy and the enemy got defeated. You could know that sometimes a person may tell you to do something, although they may not mean anything bad, but what they order you is not acceptable Islamically. If a person says, oh, you're brave, you know, just jump into the fire. You don't listen to such a person, because going to the fire is not acceptable Islamically. One of the companions did this to his friends during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, the Prophet made me your leader and he said to obey me. So he said, you know, collect some logs, set it on fire, and then he told them, go into the fire. They said, we're not going to do that. We followed Muhammad to be out of fire. He said, I still go into fire. We're not going to do that. Then when the Prophet was told about what they did, he said, if they had gone into it, they would not have come out of it. Means on the day of judgment, they would have deserved to be in hellfire. So the rule is that we do not disobey Allah. We do not obey a creation at the expense of disobeying Allah. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. Now, in the year 91, Al-Walid, the Caliph, Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, wanted to see the prophetic masjid. He wants to see what happened now to the message of the Prophet after he ordered its expansion. So he came to Al-Madinah. Remember, he lives in Syria, in Damascus. So he came to Al-Madinah. Before he reached to the masjid, the people who worked as entourage for Al-Walid, they went to the masjid before Al-Walid. And they cleared everybody from the masjid. You know how sometimes they call for security purposes. You know, they kick everybody just so that their own leader come in. So they did the same thing. They went to the masjid and they just told everybody, get out. When they went there, they found Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab, one of the great scholars of At-Tabi'in, and he was standing there praying. So they did not dare to kick him out. When he finished his prayer, he said, they spoke nicely to him. They said, if you just, you know, leave the masjid. He said, no, I don't go out of the masjid except in the time that I'm used to. Means I have my own program, my routine. So I don't go out of the masjid now. I will go out whenever I'm used to. They did not dare to get him out. He's very respectable. Then Al-Walid, the Caliph, came in to the masjid. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who was the governor of Al-Madinah at the time, he went in with him. So Umar saw Sa'id still in the masjid. And he did not want Al-Walid to see him and then order him to be harmed. So he started distracting him, telling him, look how al-masjid is, and so on, so that he would not pay attention to Sa'id. And then some people came to Sa'id and they told him, the commander of the believers, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is in the masjid. So go, sit up, stand up, and go and say salam to him. He said, I'm not going to leave my place. When he comes to me, I will say salam to him. So then, Al-Walid saw him, paid attention because he's the only one there different from his entourage. So he said, who is this? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, this is Sa'id ibn Musayyab. And he prays a lot. And he started praising him, saying good things about him, so that Al-Walid would not feel, you know, the urge to harm him. So Al-Walid said, so why doesn't he come and say salam to me? So they went to him and they told him, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's calling you to say salam to him, to greet him. He said, if he wants my salam, let him come to me. So Al-Walid was told what Sa'id said. He said, okay, we'll go to him. And then Al-Walid went to Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab. He said, assalamu alaykum to him. Sa'id returned his salamu alaykum as-salam. Then he, Al-Walid said, how are you, Sa'id? He said, alhamdulillah, ana bi khair. He said, and how are you? Sa'id asked Al-Walid, how are you? Al-Walid, the commander, said, I am okay. Then Sa'id became quiet. Then Al-Walid became quiet. And then Al-Walid left the area. So when Al-Walid, you know, was with Umar later by themselves, he said about Sa'id, this is one of the best people who have remained behind. Means he is one of the good people who live in the area. So you could see a great scholar was not, you know, worried about the ruler. He had his, you know, foot in the sand, as they said. And he said, if he wants to say salam to me, he comes to me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then in the year 93, any person who was afraid of Al-Hajjaj, and we talked about Al-Hajjaj before, he was a very rude person, he was a governor who was a tyrant, killed thousands of people for, you know, the slightest reason, or sometimes for no reason. He just, if he feels like killing someone, he would kill him, or order kill his killing. So whoever wants to get out of the harm of Al-Hajjaj, he would go to Al-Madinah, where Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was ruling. Because he was ruling the people justly, so people would just were attracted to Al-Madinah rather than, you know, being ruled by the tyrant Al-Hajjaj. So Al-Hajjaj did not like it. He wrote to Al-Walid, the Caliph ibn Abdul Malik. He told him, now Al-Madinah became a shelter for hypocrites because of Umar. And although Umar is a relative of Al-Walid and he is the one who appointed him as a governor of Medina, because of what Al-Hajjaj wrote, he removed Umar from being the governor of Al-Madinah. So you could see how, as they say, politics works. In the year 92, Al-Walid sent a man called Musa ibn Nusayr. He made him the commander of the Muslim army to open the land of Al-Andalus, Andalusia, or Spain, as it's known nowadays. And this Musa, the commander of the army, he sent his own servant or his slave, Tariq ibn Ziyad, to command an army ahead of him. He told him, take this army, go ahead of me, I'll be following you. So Tariq came to that land, went to that land, and he had 12,000 soldiers, Muslim soldiers, into that land. And he managed to defeat the Spanish armies who were in that area. Then later, Musa ibn Nusayr, his commander, he caught up with him with another army, and then these two armies split in the land of Al-Andalus, and they went deep into the Spanish land, and they opened that area, as you already know. Inshallah, We'll say more details about this later. I'll stop here because the next part needs more focus. Inshallah, next week we will say more. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. بارك الله